This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
To you, welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be talking lawns and gardens. Stay with us. I'll go ahead and give you the phone number because you need this one. It's springtime and everybody's going to be wanting to do a little yard work this weekend. A long weekend for you. This is the Memorial Day weekend. Of course, keep in mind what it's all about. We're going to have a special show at this time on Monday. We have some special guests to talk about Memorial Day. We encourage you to attend the the wonderful healing fields, the Flags of Remembrance healing fields over there in the field right next to First United Methodist Church. That opens up on Saturday thanks to the Murfreesboro Noon Exchange Club. We'll be telling you more about that as the time goes. It's free, by the way. The Healing Fields, Flags of Remembrance, and you need to be there. Visiting with us today from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, Rachel Painter is here. Rachel, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You brought a friend, a master gardener, with you.
Yes.
Very good.
Good morning.
Jennifer Salter. How are you, Jennifer?
Fine, thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you with us today. As we look at some of the people that have asked questions, and Jennifer, you've been heading over to the farmers market and everything as one of the master gardeners, and they're there on all of the farmers markets. Rachel and Jennifer, are there questions that seem to be popping up more often with people?
About this time of the year, people are just wondering, you know, what can I be planting still, because it's getting very hot. So typically try to plant at least when it's cooler in the day. Don't try to transplant anything in the heat of the day. But there are some beautiful plants over at the market, and you can come and find those. And whenever you are purchasing a plant, really talk to the vendor, or even if you're at a garden center, talk to someone that works there and ask them questions. So ask them, you know, is this sun or is this shade, or, you know, how much sunlight does this need, or anything like that. How big is this going to get?
That's a good question. General questions,
and just make sure you're aware of what that plant is, how big it's going to get, what kind of conditions it needs. And then when you do transplant it, make sure you're watering that very well. You know, right now it's getting very, very hot. So just make sure you're watering that so that it can reach its roots out and get established.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Now, what about as you dig out the hole, how big should the hole be, and do you need to replace it with better soil? Because our soil is rocky, it's clay, it's not the greatest, I understand.
It depends on what you're planting. I've been planting transplants and annuals, and I basically just dig a hole a little bit bigger than the transplant that I'm putting in, and I refill it with the same soil.
Same soil.
We don't want to create a little home for the plant where the roots don't want to leave home. The roots want to stay there in that good soil, so we want them to go out into our regular soil.
Okay.
And I plant mine, I've been planting mine in the evening when the sun is, when it's cooler, and giving them a good...
Is that for your enjoyment, or is there
no,
a reason?
No, I do that because it's cooler, it's less, the plant is not going through the 90 degree days we've been having, the heat, so it has that evening, overnight, I give it a good soaking, and then I water it every morning, so the leaves have time to dry out.
I guess the watering is a big part. I mean, you can plant a lot of different things right now, but they all need water.
They all need water, yes. And don't judge if your plant needs water by what it looks like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Everything's going to look faded at 2 o'clock.
Now, how much water, how do you know how much water, and how do you know if it's too little water in there now? I mean, people have said, well, you stick your finger on it. Mm-hmm. Well, I've done mm-hmm. that, and it, for me, it always feels the same. I don't
And sometimes it's hard to stick your finger in the ground here.
Well, that's right.
You can take a pencil and stick that in.
Uh-huh. And if it looks moist?
It looks moist. You know, stick it quite a way down.
Uh-huh.
Because so the topsoil is, if you have water regularly, the topsoil is going to stay moist, but you want to make sure it's not sitting in water
right.
or it's not drying down by the roots.
How deep should it be moist? I mean, so when you put a stick in or a pencil in, how deep should you see that moisture mark?
I would go down at least a few inches, but again, mm-hmm. it depends on what size plant you're yeah. talking about. But really, we have publications on watering trees. People forget that their trees need water. So if you have a tree that is not established yet, meaning like less than 5 years old, then you still need to be watering that, especially during these 90 degree days. And so it depends what size plant you have. You know, these small annuals that she's talking about, just some smaller flowers that you're mm-hmm. putting in, that's going to need less water than a huge tree that you have just put in. So it depends what plant we're talking about. And basically, I would say, you know, if you know the size of this root ball that you planted yourself, I would stick it down so that I was at least getting, you know, down either halfway down that root ball. So if it's a small annual, that would mm-hmm. be, you know, 2 or 3 inches in the soil. But something larger, you know, you really want to water that well so that it is making those roots reach down in the soil to get to that water and push out away from the plant to get to that water. When you're watering, you want to make sure you're watering the soil. A lot of people also forget that plants uptake water through their roots, which sounds simple, but for some reason people like to water just the leaves and they just wet the plant, and that's not enough. That's not where the plant is going to uptake water from. So make sure you're watering from the soil line, not on the top of the plant. And that will also help decrease that stress on the plant as well, because if you're watering on the leaves, then that's evaporating off of the leaves instead of the plant trying to uptake water from its roots.
Okay.
And mulch, mulch, mulch. Keep that mulch around the plants.
Okay, so it's more than pretty.
It's more than pretty. It will retain the moisture.
Okay.
And so it's, again, less stress on the plant.
But do you do it like the trees, like if it's a plant? Do you want to try to keep the mulch off of the stem itself?
I do. Even for my plants, I keep it off, just okay. a little bit off.
All right. So mulch, even iris? Do you even put mulch around iris beds?
No, okay. I don't.
I thought I would mention
they
iris.
They like to breathe. They like to be on the top. And
yeah, that's our state flower. Mm-hmm. And grows and well in sunshine.
Yes, full
right?
sun.
Okay. Now, why is it, we hear people saying, I want to divide my iris. Why do you divide iris? Or do you divide other plants, too?
Irises, we divide them when they start to get, they're too big for the spot that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the blooms start to fade off. If you're not getting as many blooms, then if you have a lot 1 year and not enough the next year, they start to go off. And that's time to divide them.
And you can divide other plants as well, not just mm-hmm. irises.
Yeah.
So a lot of things, they'll start getting smaller and just not as large or pretty as they should be. And again, if it's a flower, if it's not flowering anymore, that means that it probably needs to be divided. And it's just too much for the space that mm-hmm. it's in. So by dividing it, it helps that plant be able to get access to nutrients or water, when otherwise, when they're too clumped together, then they can't you know, have enough space to grow in. First of all, they can't access enough nutrients or enough water so that they can get to their full potential.
Okay, so those are some things to think about and to be aware of, mm-hmm. and something else to be aware of, because this can help answer all sorts of questions. The farmers markets in the morning,
mm-hmm.
7 until noon at the Lane Agri Park, not just tomorrow, but every Friday and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And at 9 o'clock each morning of the farmers market, you have a class free.
Yes.
What's the topic tomorrow?
It is promoting and protecting pollinators. So come on out and learn about pollinators. And that's a big topic this time of the year anyways. And we have planted actually a pollinator planting plot there at our office, and we did that just so that people are aware of how you can promote pollinators. So, you know, tons of different flowers and just even native flowers. They don't have to be anything special. Even the things that you see growing on the side of the road, those are flowers, and those are helping our pollinators survive. So we planted those there at Lane Agri Park. You'll see as you drive up to the farmer's market, there's a big island, parking lot island, that the grass has been killed off. And so there are very small little seedlings coming up. So that's exciting for everyone that even knows what that means. And that is different flowers, and they're going to be flowering hopefully, you know, in another month or so, but they are just now coming up. So we are asking, we've put up a couple signs, but we're asking people to realize that that is not just dead grass. There are flowers coming up, so please do not step on that, and you know, just watch it. And it's exciting to see. So, you know, even if you have little kids, bring them by and show them this is a tiny little seedling and it's going to grow up to be a flower. So come and watch that with us.
Now, there's so many different ways to pollinate plants. Mm-hmm. We all think of bees, but there are more. We, mm-hmm. we obviously want to keep the bees around, and mm-hmm. The bee clubs, which meet, I think, the first Monday evenings. Is that right?
Yes.
Rutherford
mm-hmm.
County Beekeepers. But there are other ways to pollinate. Hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. else is out there?
A lot of different birds, not just hummingbirds, but there are a ton of different birds that help with pollination, and even with just moving plants. So a lot of birds will eat different seeds, move flowers, you know, across the landscape. And then bats as well. Mm-hmm. So people don't think about bats, but they eat mosquitoes.
Yeah. Well, I knew that.
They pollinate plants, so they're great.
Beetles.
Yes.
Beetles are great pollinators.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a garden that is a butterfly garden, it mm-hmm. will attract butterflies. And mm-hmm. if it has some good color, it'll probably attract some hummingbirds. And
yeah, it can attract other things as mm-hmm. well. Even if you do have a butterfly garden, butterflies actually have host plants where they prefer that one plant over anything else. And so that's why you would deem it a butterfly garden instead of just a pollinator garden.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you have a butterfly garden, that does not mean that you will not be attracting other pollinators. So we have native bees as well. So people typically think of the honeybee, but there are a ton of different native bees. And, you know, sometimes they need that relationship of native bees plus honeybees in order to correctly pollinate different plants. So that's very exciting, and you can come out and learn about that again tomorrow morning at the Rutherford County Farmers Market at 9 a.m.
And that should be very, very interesting, promoting and protecting pollinators, 9 o'clock in the morning. And if you're wanting to learn more about butterfly gardening, I noticed that's a topic on June 14th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, so I will be teaching that.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
And then they can visit our butterfly garden out of the Farmers Market area.
Mm-hmm. Our master gardeners have been hard at work outside mm-hmm. at the demonstration gardens at Lane Agri Park. So again, come on out and see those gardens. And it's really neat to see them at different stages of the season. So you can come and see it now, and then different things will be blooming, you know, in another month or so. So you can come and see that. And especially for kids, because they see it now and then they come back another month later and there's something else blooming and they're like, whoa, that wasn't there before. So bring them out and visit the farmer's market and then walk outside and see the gardens.
That's in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so it starts at 7 o'clock. Word to the wise, mm-hmm. if you
get there
early,
yes,
you get a better choice.
Yes, okay. You've got to get there before 8 a.m. basically to get strawberries. So get there early.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning? Hello there.
I'm sorry, Bart. I was just trying to call in and tell you that the online feed is not working this morning.
The online feed?
Yeah.
You mean the streaming?
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, I will check on that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for letting me know. Yeah. Always let me know those things.
Yes.
Don't forget to tell us. I will check on that when we take a break. I think I know what's happened. I forgot to do something.
<That's>
Human error. And it's in the next room, so it'll take, on the next break, I will go fix that. Let's see, one of the things this time of the year is having a pond.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something beautiful, restful, mm-hmm. and almost cool feeling
yes.
about a pond.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, how do you have a pond because a lot of people are not fortunate enough to have a creek to, you know, mm-hmm. fill in a pond and have moving water. Mm-hmm. So you create your own pond and it's still water. And I've always heard still water creates mosquitoes.
Yeah, so they will be talking about that. We have a pond management program coming up on June 3rd at 4 p.m. at our office. And we will have Craig Kimbrough. He's one of our UT fisheries first responders. So we have fisheries specialists across the state. And he will be coming and talking about, you know, how to control mosquitoes in a pond. And these are really, you know, a wide range of different kinds of ponds. So on you know, cattle properties, they will have ponds for their cows to get in and different things like that, or to drink from, depending on what they want. And then people, like you said, will maybe just want one to stock with fish. Maybe they would like to fish on their property. And, you know, maybe they just want it to look at and be pretty. So there's different reasons for having a pond. We'll talk about that. And then how to manage that, including the water sampling. So how to take a water sample from your pond to know if your pH is correct, or maybe you need to add, you know, different chemicals in there to make sure that you're keeping that at a safe level for whatever is trying to live in there. Talk about pond color, because the color of the water can tell you a lot. And then we'll talk about aquatic weeds and how to control those. So if you have a pond, or if you've ever been to just a natural pond, you've probably seen that they can be taken over by different aquatic weeds. Mm-hmm. And you know, then if you were trying to stock it with fish, they could not live in there as well. Different things like that. So how to stock it correctly, how to know what these weeds are and how to control them, or maybe how to grow certain other plants that would be helpful. So we'll talk about that. And again, that's $5, and that does include food, so that's a deal. And again, June 3rd at 4 p.m.
Monday, June 3rd, 4 mm-hmm. o'clock. Okay. Now, the size of your pond, does it, as it gets bigger, is it harder to maintain, or is a pond, I mean, if you have a relatively small yard, mm-hmm. you could put a little fish pond in the backyard and make it really small, mm-hmm. or you could take up a large part of your backyard and have a really visually attractive pond. Mm-hmm. Is one harder to maintain than the other?
I'm not sure. I think it depends on your purpose for the pond is probably what makes it harder to maintain or not. I'm sure the size probably plays into that some, but, you know, depending on what you're trying to do, that's basically what's going to make it harder to maintain or not.
Mm-hmm. And you could, it seems like you could really go wild. I mean, you could mm-hmm. put the cattails and other mm-hmm. plants in there and help mm-hmm. create sort of a natural environment for it.
Mm-hmm.
Are those hard to grow once you get the pond, once you get the water to stay? Is it hard to get some of the aquatic plants to grow around it?
I am not sure, honestly. So come with that question
yeah.
to
okay.
June 3rd, and we'll ask Craig Kimbrough, and he'll, I'm sure, tell us. But yeah, we have different specialists that handle ponds, because all ag extension agents cannot, you know everything about pond life, especially because it can get very specific. So that's why we have him, and we call him in to do these programs every so often. So if you do have any questions about ponds, be sure to come in and ask.
All righty, let's take another call here. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wondered if they had any opinion on corn transplants.
Corn transplants?
Yes. I've never heard of corn transplants.
Okay. Are you
what
asking
kind of question?
Yeah, are you wanting to transplant corn, or what is it you're wanting to do?
No. But you don't transplant corn.
Okay.
That's just all I wanted.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just sharing a thought with us. I thank you. Bye-bye. Just a little thought there, transplanting corn. Okay. And maybe some of you have tried that, like to know about it.
Yeah, I don't believe that people do that. Certain plants do not transplant well at all, because mm-hmm. their root systems just get transplant shock very bad. So I have never heard of that.
Nope.
I do not believe that I would try that. And certain plants, too, just come up very easily.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that. They're so easy from seed.
Yeah. I wouldn't waste my time digging holes, actually, that deep. I would just plant the seed. But corn also has to be wind pollinated. So make sure you're planting that in a square, not in a straight row, because then it's harder for that wind to pollinate that crop.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's why whenever you see a cornfield, it'll typically be in like a perfect square. Or if you see corn in a garden, you would not see it just one row of corn. You would at least see a block of it, maybe not necessarily a perfect square, but even if it's a large rectangle, because that way there's higher chances of it getting pollinated by the wind.
You learn something new every day. There's another conversation
there
starter
go.
For lunchtime.
Yeah.
Don't forget the Pond Management Program, Monday, June 3rd, starting at 4 o'clock at the Lane Agri Park. Give them a call, 615-898-7710. If you have questions or if you want to register, 615-898-7710. I can just see that cool water in the pond right now. Oh, man, we're going to check on the traffic and weather, and we'll be right back.
The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we pray for water.
Consumer Warrior Clark Howard, weekdays 11 to 1.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Have you thought about trying CBD products but don't know where to start? Well, go see our friends over at Best Buds, Murfreesboro's premium CBD and hemp supply store. They'll answer all your questions from their CBD oils and flower to their pet products and accessories. Best Buds. 1651 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro, located behind PPG Paint and Lexpro. 10% off for military and first responders. Best Buds, Murfreesboro's premium CBD and hemp supply store.
This is Josh at South Branch Nursery, a full-service, one-stop garden center open to everyone. We have a combined 10.5 acres with great plant material, mulches, landscape stones, and lawn decor. Here at South Branch Nursery, we specialize in hard-to-find trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, and edibles. We also have a full line of bagged and bulk soils, mulches, and rock, and even offer to deliver any of our products. Come see our South Church Street location, just off I-24 past Indian Hills Golf Course.
Hi, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. I'm the guitar tech here. We're a pretty well-rounded music store. We have every guitar, keyboard, drum that you might be looking for. Parts are available, strings, accessories. We also have lessons, $25 for a half hour of keys, anything with strings, and drums. It's all here, Music World and Drummer's Den. We're your hometown music store. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church, right across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Good morning. Still very busy out here on 24, but hey, it's moving. 24 westbound, coming past Almaville Road, headed towards Nashville. A lot of traffic on 41, getting on that ramp there to 840. All that 840 traffic headed over towards Franklin, Williamson County. Watch your speed. Obergatlinburg Spring Festival Mayfest underway now through May 27. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Now let's look at that Murfreesboro weather, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon, high in the low 90s, southwest winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low near 68. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 67.
Bazing at First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives a new meaning to pushing the bar on customer service.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Bazing offers discounts on medicine and doctors.
I saved on my eye doctor's exam and the glasses, too.
Look how much I saved at the drugstore.
Hearing services as well.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. This is Freedom Morgan from First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
Get the latest local real estate information, lawn and garden tips, and more Saturdays at noon on the Rutherford Home Show with Dean Higbee and Dave Grover here on WGNS.
Welcome back. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. Don't forget that pond management program coming up June the 3rd at 4 o'clock at the Lane Agri Park. And also we remind you again about the farmer's market in the morning, 7 until noon over at the Lane Agri Park. And the topic of tomorrow morning's meeting, the classroom there at 9 o'clock in the morning, promoting and protecting pollinators. If you have a lawn or garden question or comment, like we had an interesting comment a minute ago, 615-893-1450. You can also text us at WGNSradio.com. I understand that lawns and gardens are interesting for youngsters, too, and you're never too young to get involved in gardening and learning how to do that. You're going to have some camps coming up.
Yes, we do. We have a junior gardener camp. So this is the first time that we've offered a junior gardener camp in quite some time at our office. And the Rutherford County Master Gardeners are going to be hosting that. And so it is on June 26th through the 28th. And that is from 8 a.m. until noon each day. So it's open to third through sixth graders. And the topic is pollinators because it's so exciting for the kids to learn about how plants are pollinated, how they grow. So they will be learning what pollinators are, so all the different types of pollinators, why they're important. They'll see how bees make honey. So some of our master gardeners are in the Beekeepers Association. They'll be bringing some of their gear with them to show. And we'll also have a youngster herself showing us how butterflies change in their cocoons. So she'll bring butterflies at different life stages to show them how that process happens and how these butterflies change from caterpillars. And then we'll be talking about how different plants are host to different pollinators. So mm-hmm. they'll get different things to take home and plant in their own gardens to promote pollinators. And then we'll also have a scavenger hunt of the farmer's market. So the very last day is a Friday, the 28th. So they will get to go through the farmer's market with master gardeners and search for different things. And then we will end with a big pizza party. So that's sponsored by Farm Bureau. So we're thankful for that. And so it'll be a fun, packed time. So come on out and you can sign up today. So if you know any third through sixth graders, rising third through sixth graders, please send them our way. Please share this with anyone that you know that might have a child that might be interested. And registration is just $50. So for $50, 3 days, 8 a.m. to noon. And they will go home with many, many goodies. And, compared with other camps in the area, that's pretty cheap. So we're excited to be able to offer this to the kids here in Rutherford County.
And that's such a great learning facility, too. Mm-hmm. The Lane Agri Park, if you have not been there, and I say that because a lot of people say, well, I thought everybody had been there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember, we're getting all these new people the community.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have not been to the Lane Agri Park, you need to go check it out. We're really proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
315 John R. Rice Boulevard. That is next door to Paws,
mm-hmm.
where you adopt pets, just down the street from Sam's. So with those landmarks, hopefully you will be able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmer's market's on the rear of the property.
Yes.
A lot of people might go into the building at front.
Yes.
And you won't find the farmer's market there. You'll mm-hmm. find the offices mm-hmm. for the Agricultural Extension Service. But the farmer's market is in the back. And at certain times of the year, you have a lot of animals back there, too.
We do, yes.
Show ring and all mm-hmm. sorts of things.
Yes, and you can, if you're interested in this junior gardener camp or if you have questions, you can come out to the farmer's market tomorrow morning and talk to our master gardeners, and we will have applications at the extension office. So come to mm-hmm. the market, ask your questions from the master gardeners, and then come up to the main office to fill out that application. So we are taking applications now. Again, rising third through sixth graders, and the date is June 26th through the 28th.
All righty. And if you have questions on that one, you can also call the Agricultural Extension Service, 615-898-7710. And it's with so many people, and we've touched on this before, but it's always important to cover this. With so many people living in condominiums and having not having backyards or having very small backyards, container gardening is taking on an all new look. You can go to any store that sells things like that, and you'll find kits to build a container garden. You can find some pretty creative ways to do container gardening. It's amazing what you can actually grow with containers. Is there a limit of much anything? I mean, I guess you could even grow corn if you wanted to, just not a whole lot of it.
Yeah, I would probably stick away from corn. You just wouldn't get enough for your space there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have, even at Lane Agri Park, you know, depending on what size you have, even raised beds can be considered containers. And we have five different containers, raised beds, that they can look at and see. So, you know, maybe you want to build it out of concrete blocks. Maybe you want to build it out of straw bales. Maybe you want to build it out of wood, or, you know, those plastic ones that you can just buy at Sam's. Or maybe you need access for a wheelchair. So there's different ways that you can do that. And we have all of those that you can see in our demonstration gardens there. We also have some different tubs and options for that. So we're building that right now. And one of our project leaders of the veggie garden, William Zellers, he's using mineral tubs. So cattle producers, they purchase these
mineral tubs.
It's for the cows to eat, basically, or other livestock will do this as well during the winter to get them through. So and sometimes it's during the summer as well, but mostly during the winter. And so they eat these it's kind of like a salt block, I guess, idea, same thing. But they come in these huge, beautiful containers. They're different colors, and so we have the UT orange ones, but they're different colors, and the co-op was nice enough to collect those for us, and we took them to school gardens as well, so they're using them. And they're just very large containers, larger than 5 gallon buckets, but they're great to use, and again, they're free. We're reusing them. So even if you have something that you've already used up and you're like, what can I do with this, just drill some holes in the bottom and plant in it. So people come up with many different ideas for planting and using different things. You know, you don't have to go get a pot. You can use something else.
Let me ask you this, if you're planting a container garden, are there some things to stay away from that might, you know, deter good growth? I mean, types of metal, wood, plastic. You can have all sorts of items that you make the container out of, but are there things that you should stay away from that might not be healthy for you, or you just want to be safe?
I think I stay away from metal because it does get hot. And so I
cook the roots.
Yeah. And because I have vegetables, but I put them in pots because I have too much shade, so they go on my driveway.
Interesting. Yeah.
And they sit on the front of the driveway.
Who needs to get in the house?
My tomatoes need full sun. So, but I raise them off the driveway, so they're on pots with legs. I put pot feet underneath, and I stay away from anything terracotta. I stay away from that because of where it is, because the water is going to leach out of that. So good drainage, and keep the air flowing and keep the pots cool.
Okay, so whatever you use, keep it up. Let there be air under it.
I like to keep mine up, yeah, let the water drain out. You don't want the plants sitting in water.
Okay.
Make sure it has a hole.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That is true. A lot of pots, they sell them now, especially the plastic or the other materials. They don't come with holes.
So, and I think some of these plastic cubes that I've seen in stores that are sold for container gardeners, I don't think they have holes.
Yeah, you need to pull that drill out.
Yeah.
So big, how big of a hole do you put in these? I mean, just a good size drill bit, or?
I put several holes.
I would make it a little bit, you know, the size of your pinky finger, maybe, or a little bit smaller. But you want to make sure that it's not large enough for all of your soil to necessarily fall out. But it does need to be able to drain pretty well. You don't want it to be sitting in water. I mean, it's just like us. If we were standing in a bucket of water, our feet were sitting in water constantly, we wouldn't like that. yes, I like to shower and my feet get washed off, but they don't like to sit in water. So, you know, just think about it like that. Would this plant want to be sitting completely submerged in water for a full day? No. So you water it well so it gets all the way down to that entire root zone, but it does not need to sit in water.
Will a plant grow better in a container garden as opposed to out in the yard itself? I mean, you're able to control the soil.
Yeah.
You're able to control the nutrition. You're able to water it more easily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, well, do you have an irrigation system? And I thought, well, that sounds like a good idea. And I asked, what would that cost?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they said $6,000 or $7,000. So that's a little pricey.
Yeah, it depends on the type of irrigation you want to use. I mean, you can buy just a Dripworks system for, you know, a raised vegetable mm-hmm. garden, and that'll run you about $100. So it just depends what you're trying to accomplish.
Uh-huh.
If you were trying to irrigate your entire property and put in, you know, irrigation heads that are going to be automatic and come up, you know, whatever, then, yeah, that can get very, very pricey. But you can also make do with something as simple as a hose pipe that has mm-hmm. holes poked in it, you know, so you don't have to get so fancy.
Now, one thing I forgot to ask you, which this comes up this time of the year, you were talking about planting trees, being sure that they get watered mm-hmm. properly.
I would not plant a tree right now.
Don't.
No, yeah. I would not. It's too large and you're just going to stress it out. So I would wait
okay.
until this fall.
But if you do have some trees that are planted,
mm-hmm.
they
water
still
those.
Need water.
Yes, water those.
What about these gator bags? I think they're called gator bags, the
mm-hmm.
bags that you hang around a tree, fill them with water.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a slow drip? Is that good?
Yes, it can be good, but you do not, you know, once the water gets out of there, you do not want to leave it there, because what that can do, if you just constantly leave that on your tree, you know, put it on there, fill it up, and then leave it and let that drain out, and then remove it, and then do it again, you know, but leave it off for a couple of days, because if you leave that on there, you're creating just a trap of moisture,
mm-hmm.
Or you're creating a space where, you know, fungus or something like that can begin to grow.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning, Bart.
Hey, good morning.
If you got tomato plant in a pot or in the ground, how often do you have to water them?
How often do you need to water your tomato plants?
In the ground? What's he?
Yeah, I think you said either way. Is that right?
Either in the ground or either in a pot. I got four in a pot and I got two in the ground.
Oh, okay. I would, again, stick your finger down in the soil and, you know, for a tomato plant, I would stick my finger all the way down in there. And see if it's dry, first of all. So about right now, you might need to be watering every day, even if it's 90 degrees.
I've been doing mine every day, and that soil is drying out really fast
mm-hmm.
with a pot.
Yes, and even within the ground, I mean, right now at 90 degrees, again, water, you know, late in the evening mm-hmm. or early in the morning, where you're not stressing the plant out even more, but almost about every day, depending on how hot it gets. But if it is 90 degrees and we have not gotten any rain at all, I would be watering every day. If we get some rain, you know, don't water that day. You don't want to drown them. But, you know, at this time, yes, I would water every day.
All right, every day. So there you go.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bart.
Thank you. You have a good day. Well, here's a text message from a listener who has tried the container gardens, and they say that they have had better luck by putting the holes on the side and not at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
On the side instead of the bottom.
Yes, if you are sitting your container directly on an impervious surface, so if you're sitting it directly like she is on the driveway, or if you're sitting it on a patio or something where the water, you know, even hard clay, then putting the holes on the sides and on the sides, what we mean by that is very close to the bottom. You don't want to have it on the side, you know, up in the air, but very, very close to the bottom. I would maybe go up, you know, half an inch, just where you're not going to break the bottom off, but go up a half an inch or an inch, depending on your kind of pot you have, and put a hole there. And obviously this would be easier to do on plastic. Otherwise on a ceramic pot, it would probably just break completely for you. But mm-hmm. on a plastic pot, go about a half an inch or an inch and drill some holes around that side. It doesn't mean that you can't also put holes in the bottom, though. So if you have a hole in the bottom already and it came like that, that's completely fine. But yes, putting holes around the sides just means that it drains easier, because if you're sitting that, even if there are holes on the bottom, if you're sitting that on the driveway or the patio, it's not going to be able to get out if that pot is very heavy.
Our phone number, 615-893-1450. Did you get that? 615-893-1450. We're going to pause and check on the weather, and we'll be back and continue the conversation. We're talking about lawns and gardens. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And as the skies turn gloomy, night winds whisper to me, I'm lonesome as I can be. I go out walking after midnight, out in the starlight.
Local, certified financial planner Jason Qualls. Financial Coaching Radio, weekdays at 4 on News Radio WGNS.
We have now gotten a food truck. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. Our food truck has various items from the Demas's menu, from our Peter D's catering menu, from our new concept PDK, and we can combine it in any form or fashion. The food truck is available for rent, and it also can show up at any different events or outings. But it's set up here to be able to serve the people here anytime you want without having to go inside the restaurant. Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op, 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church. Come see us for all your spring needs. We have everything we need to make your yards beautiful, to make your gardens grow, to make your animals healthy, and we have great gift and clothing ideas too. So come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. And remember, you don't have to be a member to shop with us. The Rutherford Farmers Co-op is located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
This is Lisa Halliburton with Bell Jewelers, Murfreesboro's most trusted diamond store. Bell Jewelers is proud to be celebrating 140 years serving Murfreesboro and Middle Tennessee. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon, a high in the low 90s. Southwest winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low near 68. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 67.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
The Wake Up Crew, weekday mornings, 6 to 7:50.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
I want to say happy birthday to Cindy Klisch this morning. Cindy wins her choice of French macarons or the delicious cinnamon roll from Simply Pure Sweets Bakery and Cafe. Cindy, happy birthday to you. Our winner today, Cindy Klisch. Now, our phone number, if you have a question this morning, 615-893-1450. You're in control. You can talk or text on that number, whichever you prefer. And here is a text question somebody just sent us. It says, when the watering container has tomatoes in it, is it harmful to spray the leaves? And when is the best time, early morning or late evening? What's the
answer for that one?
I water early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
I don't want water on the tomato leaves in the evening. I don't want to attract fungus or mildew or anything like that, any diseases. And I don't water the leaves. I water at the ground level.
Yeah, okay. She's talking about spraying the leaves with, mm-hmm. with water or...
It doesn't say. It okay, just says yeah. spray the leaves. It says it says when watering container tomatoes,
okay, yeah.
is it harmful to spray the leaves?
Try and keep it off the leaves, I would
say. Yeah, try to water the soil again. Those plants are getting no benefit from you watering the leaves unless there are aphids or anything mm-hmm. else on them. If there are aphids, spray them with a strong stream of water to try to blast them off of there. And if you are ever applying any pesticides, and again, organic does not mean that you are not applying pesticides. There are pesticides that are for organic operations, or even if you're trying to do things organically, there are pesticides to do so. So if you are spraying anything, spray that at dusk when the sun is going down. Our pollinators are not foraging at that time, and so, you know, there's a less chance of you harming them. So it doesn't, you know, just because you spray something doesn't mean that you're harming pollinators. You can still spray something to save your plants, mm-hmm. But just do so at a time that means that you are doing the least harm as possible, so spraying at dusk. So again, do not try to spray the leaves on purpose of your tomato plant, but if you do so, it'll be best to water at the morning time so that you are not putting those through any stress or providing a happy place for fungus or bacteria to start attaching to your plant. So water in the morning, spray pesticides in the evening.
Okay, speaking of happy place, we're coming toward the end of the show, and a happy place mm-hmm. is tomorrow morning.
Yes.
What is that?
The farmer's market. The farmer's market. So come on out 7 a.m. until noon. And again, that's every Tuesday and Friday at Lane Agri Park, 315 John Rice Boulevard. And drive around the back of the property and watch out for the speed bumps. Watch out for other people. And, you know, go there and get your fresh produce. Right now, they have some a lot of your leafy greens still. You can get some strawberries, beautiful plants. There's tomatoes already, so come out and get your tomatoes. And it'll still be a little bit before we get any squash or zucchini or anything like that. But there is some beautiful, fresh leafy greens, salads, things like that. So come on out and get those. And you can also get your tomato plants. So come and purchase your tomato plants that you can go and plant at home and get your own tomatoes.
These are pretty good sized plants, aren't mm-hmm. they? I mean, they're not little bitty.
No, yeah. Some good sized plants that are perfect, ready for transplanting. And again, you can find different varieties as well. So depending on what you want, look for a tomato that has those different qualities and characteristics.
And if you're looking at planting a tomato plant, mm-hmm. are you looking now, with this being this point in the season, mm-hmm. Basically June, are you looking at a little 3 or 4 inch plant, or do you want to plant one that's a couple of feet tall?
It'll transplant better if it's still smaller. Mm-hmm. So I would not purchase one that's already at full size and try to transplant it. But if it was already at full size, I would maybe leave it in the container it came in. But right now you're looking at about a foot tall.
Okay.
A foot tall or a little bit more than that.
And you've been doing that.
I've been doing that. Mine is about a foot tall, mm-hmm. and I got it at the farmer's market.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But, yeah, when you come to the farmer's market, come on in. Our table is right there, and you can come talk to us about the Junior Gardener Camp mm-hmm. or bring any questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
And you can also get your plants as mm-hmm. well. And June 1st is our Murfreesboro Saturday Lime Ball Library class.
Uh-huh. So make it a point to be there, mm-hmm. and that is tomorrow at the Lane Agri Park. Thank you for joining us this morning. We've been talking with Jennifer Salter and Rachel Painter. Hey, have a good day.